then let's jump in, because I gotta, I've got a lot to say, and I'm gonna say it really quick. So I need you to just put your good ear in, right? And so this week we're in week three of our series on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you know, my goal through this whole series has been to cause us as the body to value the Holy Spirit. And I want to say, I'm going to make a strong statement to you. Please listen how the weight I put on this statement. As a believer, the number one resource you have is the Holy Spirit. It's just that important. And a lot of people say, well, Nody, I thought it's the Bible. Or I told this to the huddle earlier. I'm going to tell it to you. You ready? The Trinity is not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. The Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's not throwing any shade on the Bible, because we love the Word of God. But I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit, it's a third of the Trinity. And some of us, though, we just don't know what to do with the Holy Spirit. I almost ask you to raise your hand if you just want us to not talk about the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of you'd be like, yes, thank you, right? But if we avoid or ignore the Holy Spirit, we miss out on a full third of what God has for us. So the Holy Spirit's important. Remember when Jesus started his school of ministry? In other words, he picked 12 disciples and he discipled them. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was so important that he wouldn't let them graduate until they got it. He didn't release them into their ministry until the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, our job here is to disciple people, so we shouldn't ignore the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so this is what we're trying to do in this series. And this morning, I'm going to go where you thought I was going. You know, when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you eventually get to the subject of tongues, speaking in tongues. And I just want to tell you, it's impossible to read through the New Testament and not engage with the subject of speaking in tongues. It's just going to pop up, right? But a lot of us, like I said, we're even okay with the Holy Spirit, but when this tongues thing comes up, we get a little weird, all right? So here's what I wish would happen, is that this morning, that God would take a big eraser and just erase anything we think we know about tongues and any bias we may have against it, and you have a picture of somebody in your mind when you think of tongues. If he could just erase that image, wouldn't it be helpful? Somebody who just didn't do speaking any tongues any justice, right? I see a lot of this. So imagine if the Lord could just erase that, and then we would just look in his word, and how many of you think that we ought to just do what the word says, right? You may, don't do what Jody says. If it doesn't come from the word, it's not important, okay? So this morning, I just want to look in the word, and we're going to ask God to talk to us about this. So can we just pray first? Because I think we need to pray. And you may just need to ask God, Lord, you're going to have to open my ears. Because remember, Jesus said to people all the time, if you have ears to hear. Well, some of you, the subject we're talking about so far, you're like, I don't have ears to hear. So that's okay. Let's pray, ready? And I want you to pray. Say, Lord, give me ears to hear. Show me in your word. Give me revelation. Holy Spirit, talk to us. Show us truth this morning in Jesus' name. Everybody said, I want to begin by making a quick, I'm going to call it a case for tongues, okay? So I just want to look in scripture really quick. Now, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 14. Grab a pen, grab a piece of paper, because you may need to do some underlining, okay? So this is important, because I want you to see that this isn't just in Jody's Bible, it's in your Bible, all right? And so I want to show you, I'm going to give you kind of a broad overview of tongues really, really quick, and I'm going to call it a case for tongues, okay? And so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to bounce around on a bunch of scriptures in 1 Corinthians 14. But the writer of 1 Corinthians was Paul, and my first, if I'm building a case for tongues, I would say this, that Paul was a fan of tongues, all right? Look in verse 18. Here's what it says. Here's Paul. He says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Let me ask you a question. Did Paul speak in tongues? Yes. Let me ask that again, because I don't think some of you are awake yet, right? Did Paul speak in tongues? He told us, he said, as a matter of fact, he was kind of bragging. I speak in tongues more than all of y'all. And some of you may say, well, that's right, because he was an apostle and that was for Paul. But look at this also at verse 5. He says, the beginning of verse 5, he says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. So Paul didn't just want to speak in tongues. He wanted you to speak in tongues. Raise your hand if God wants you to, if Paul wanted you to speak in tongues, right? So he wished all of us would speak in tongues. And some of us are like, okay, all right, I see it. Paul spoke in tongues. Paul wanted me to speak in tongues, but we can't do it in church. We can't do it in church. All right, let me show you another scripture. Again, remember we've erased the chalkboard. I'm just showing you scripture. Hey, by the way, ready? I didn't write this. Okay, let me show you another scripture. All right, look in verse 39. At the end of verse 39, it says, do not forbid to speak with tongues. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about public worship. And you know what Paul said? Is that we shouldn't forbid the speaking in tongues. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have gone to churches where it was definitely forbidden to speak in tongues? Like, we've got a seat for you in the parking lot if you speak in tongues, right? And so some of you say, well, you know, of course Paul spoke in tongues because he was an apostle, but then he wanted us to speak in tongues. And then the scripture says we should not forbid the speaking of tongues in church, right? But then some of you may say, okay, I see it, and it's all right if we speak in tongues in church, but not when we have visitors. Like, we want these people to like us. Can we just stay away from this? Because I've heard people say this, no, tongues is for the home folks. It's for believers. Well, look in verse 22, this will rattle you, ready? It says, therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to the unbeliever. It actually says that if you really want to impress your visitors, speak in tongues. That was funny. I mean, that was just funny. And some of the visitors are going, oh my gosh, get me out of here, right? So you can't obviously build a whole theology of tongues based on those four little passages there. But I hope you see that if we really do erase the biases in our minds about tongues, we see that tongues is scriptural. Let me ask you this. Would the Holy Spirit have had Paul write instructions on when and where to use tongues if tongues wasn't applicable? Why would he teach on the healthy application of tongues if tongues wasn't for us? You see that? And so there's a lot of instructions, especially in the book of 1 Corinthians, on tongues. And so I just want to talk to you about this subject this morning. But I want to start here. You said you've already started. I have. I'm sorry. The middle of my part. I'm going to go here, the middle of my message. I want to say this. I want to give you what I call a foundational truth. So this morning we're talking specifically right now about tongues. But I want to back up and I want to give you a foundational truth where when we talk about the working of the Holy Spirit, here's what you need to know, okay? This is important. Anytime you're studying the working of the Holy Spirit, here's what I see in Scripture. The Holy Spirit brings a lot to our life. There's a lot that he brings to our life. But everything that the Holy Spirit does falls in one of two categories. I want to show you two categories. If you're working with the Holy Spirit, you'll see that it falls in one of two categories. The first category is what the Holy Spirit does in me. The second is what he does through me. Two categories. First, there's the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Remember in John 14 when Jesus is prophesying to his disciples and telling them, when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He called him the Comforter. And he begins to describe what the Comforter is going to do. That was all about their personal development. In other words, there's part of the working of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit does in Jody just so that Jody can grow up and Jody can mature as a believer. So there's the personal inward working of the Holy Spirit. If you understand that, say amen. But then there's the outward work of the Holy Spirit. This is Acts 1:8. He said to the disciples, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he didn't say in you, so when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to have power. Power to do what? To witness. Power to minister in for the kingdom of God, to be fruitful for the kingdom. So there's two workings of the Holy Spirit. There's what he does in my personal life, and there's what he does through me for the benefit of others. You see that? All right, so when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, you need to know that. Now, let's go back down to tongues, because the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The big deal about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He's the big deal. But when he comes into our life, he brings things. He brings tools. He brings gifts into our life. We are not to appreciate the gift more than the giver. The emphasis on the giver, but we also don't need to ignore the gifts that he brings and the tools that he brings into my life, right? So this morning we're talking about tongues. That's one of the tools that he brings into our life. It's not the big deal. He's the big deal. But he offers this to us. Now, the same way I said that the Holy Spirit, there's an inward, a personal part of the Holy Spirit, and there's what he does through us, I see the same thing with tongues. And this is where a lot of people get confused. So please follow me. We're going to look in Scripture, but here's what I want to show you. There is an application of tongues where it's for me personally. It's my personal prayer language. And then there's the gift of tongues for the edification of others. And a lot of people get hung up because they don't understand that. Some people say, well, where there's tongues, there has to be interpretation. Yes, if it's the gift of tongues meant to edify someone else. But there's also the grace of tongues that's for me personally. It's my personal prayer language. You see the two categories? Some of you are learning new things today. Please pay attention to this. So this morning, I want to talk specifically about the personal application of speaking in tongues as a prayer language. I'm going to show you three things. Pay attention because we're going to move quick. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14. First thing I want to show you is that praying in tongues as your personal prayer language, the tool, not the gift of tongues for the edification of the body, but the tool of tongues as my personal prayer language. First thing we need to know is it's scriptural. Let me show you a passage here. Look with me at verse 2 in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." Please underline "to God" right there in your Bible. In other words, he's not speaking a message from God. He's speaking something to God. You see that? So he does not speak to men, but to God. "For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." And so what Paul's saying here is that there's an application of tongues that's me speaking to God. I'm not speaking to others, so they don't need to understand me, and they wouldn't understand me if they heard it. But I'm speaking to God, and he uses the phrase "in the Spirit." He calls praying in tongues praying in the Spirit. And he says that when that happens, you're actually speaking mysteries. So Paul is saying it's valid to pray in the Holy Spirit. It's a tool that we have. It's a function of our prayer life. It's not for others. It's just for me. Look down at verse 14. It says, "For if I pray in a tongue," you see that? See the word "pray" there? What it's saying is he's not giving a message to others. He's praying to God. "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding," or that's my mind, "says my mind is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I'll also sing with the understanding. Otherwise," this is where it gets confusing. Follow me in this, ready? "Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue." Let me tell you what he's saying here. He's saying that it's valid to pray in tongues for my personal prayer life. That's a valid thing. He even says if you do that, you do well. So I pray in tongues. I pray with my spirit. It's me talking to God. But he said there's also prayer with my understanding. And what he's saying here, remember a minute ago we prayed for our teachers? We prayed for all of our educators? Imagine if Miss Stacy would have gotten up in here, up here, and prayed the whole time praying in tongues. How could we agree with her and say amen to her prayer if she prayed in tongues? We wouldn't understand what she was praying. So we pray with our understanding in a corporate setting so that the people who are agreeing with us in prayer can say amen to our prayer. It doesn't mean that praying in tongues isn't valid. It just means it's a different application. There's two things here for two distinct purposes. And so the idea of prayer, of tongues as a personal prayer language is scriptural. Let me move quickly. The second point in my message today is praying in tongues as a prayer language, it's beneficial. It's beneficial. Let me show you verse 4. Look in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He doesn't say one's valid and one's not valid. He just says there's two distinct purposes. Praying in tongues is something that edifies us as a believer. In the book of Jude, the 20th verse, it says this, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. In other words, tongues as a personal prayer language is something that builds us up. Church, when did it become wrong to build ourselves up? How many of you read your Bibles? You know what you're doing when you're reading your Bibles? You're building yourself up. I know there's some of you in here who are saying, Jody, I'm fully built up. I need no edification. I need no such benefit. If that's you, then you're excused. We have nothing else to say to you today. Right? And so it's actually a benefit. It's a personal benefit. And when I'm needing my faith built up, you know, there are times when people call me and say, Jody, would you agree with me in prayer over something, or there's a prayer need? And I'll say yes, but before I start praying, it's like, I need my faith built up. I mean, there's a challenge I'm praying for. Somebody's facing a bad report from a doctor, or somebody's facing an important situation, an impossible situation. I need to pray with faith. So you know what I do? I begin to pray in tongues. I just begin to pray in my spirit. What am I doing? I'm just building myself up. And then when it comes time to pray with that person, I pray in English so that they can say amen, right? And we can be in agreement on it. But prayer, tongues as a prayer language, the second point is that it's a benefit for us. Here's number three. The third thing I want you to notice here this morning is that praying in tongues is a choice. It's a choice you make. Because, you know, there's a lot of people who are like, okay, Jody, you've shown me enough scripture. I get it. It's in the Bible. I don't like it, but it's there. Right? And then they go, okay, well then, you know, then God's gonna have to give me the gift of tongues. We're not talking about the gift of tongues. We're talking about the grace of tongues. The gift of tongues you may not have, but we all have the grace of tongues as believers. We have the ability, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to use tongues as our personal prayer language. It's not a gift, right? And so some people say, I don't have the gift. Look, you don't need the gift. You've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? Second thing that people, you know, always they get freaked out on is, and they say things like, well, look, if God wants me to have it, he's just gonna have to get it to me. Give it to me, Lord. Well, let me tell you something. It usually doesn't work that way. In fact, here's what Paul said. Look with me. Back at verse 14, let's see if you can catch where I'm going with this. Ready? This is Paul writing. He says, for if I pray in a tongue My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? Here's this conclusion. Ready? I will. You see that? It's an act of his will. I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. So you don't have to wait for God to drop the Holy Spirit on you. You can actually, as an act of your free will, make a choice to engage in the tool that God's already given you. But you're going to have to open your mouth. I remember there was a guy I was helping in the ministry of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and where tongues was concerned. And this guy wanted it, you know. And so, I don't know if you've ever heard of this. A lot of people have this theology of tarrying. You know, you ask for it and then you tarry for it. It's like you just wait. And at some point, God's going to drop it on you, right? And that was kind of this dude's approach. And one day, he said he was actually in his closet. You know, the word tells us to go into our prayer closet. He took this real literally. He was in his closet. And he was praying, and he said, at that moment, he said, the Holy Spirit fell on him. And he said he began to speak in tongues. And I wasn't there. This is what he told me. He said, for 3 hours, I could not speak in English. All I could do was speak in tongues. And I was like, wow. Now, that was an incredible encounter that marked his life, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was an impact. How many of you think like, yeah, okay, that would do something? That's what he told me. But you know what the problem is, I found out later? Is that when he needed edification the next time, he just had to hope that God would drop it on him again. He didn't understand that it's not an encounter to be dropped on him. It's a tool that he carries around with him that came with the Holy Spirit. And he can pull it out when I need edification. It's a tool to be used in my prayer life. It's a tool to be used when I need to build up my most holy faith. It's a tool to be used when I don't know what to pray. You know, Bob, sometimes you ever had to... Went to start praying about something, you didn't know where to go with your prayer. Like, I don't know where to go with this yet. You know what you do? You begin to pray in the Spirit. Just silently begin to pray in the inside of you. It's like I don't know if you've ever owned an old truck or an old vehicle, one of those old ones. You know, where you had to kind of pump the gas a couple times before you crank it, you know, and whoa, and it get going, it's kind of rough. You know, anybody had one of those vehicles? Right. You got to warm that thing up. You got to stomp on the gas a few times, blow out the soot, right? Listen, I don't know about you, but sometimes I go to pray and I got to blow out some soot. I mean, I ain't there yet, you know? And I got to blow out some soot. So that's what I do. I just begin praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. What am I doing? Come on, I'm getting that baby running. Blowing the soot out, pushing that clutch in, grinding a few gears. We're going to get this thing going here in a minute, right? And so it's how we pray. This is a tool for you, church. Please understand what I'm trying to say to you. This is an important tool for you. And when you pray in tongues, it's bypassing your mind. So you know what? It's actually the Holy Spirit of God praying to God the Father through you. And I don't know about you, but I've prayed a few prayers that weren't according to the will of God. You know, the word tells us that you can have whatever you ask if you pray according to his will. Anybody ever prayed a prayer that you know wasn't according to God's will? That guy in traffic cuts you off. I pray a prayer for him. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. I take authority. May the lug nuts come off his tires right now as he's driving. May you pour your vengeance on him. Come on now. That's not according to God's will. You know what? In that instance, though, imagine if you would begin praying in tongues. And then as you're praying in tongues, you got interpretation. And you heard the Holy Spirit praying on the inside of you. Oh, Lord, bless that man and everything that he does, Lord. May he and his wife and his family and his business prosper. And, Lord, may you multiply to him and blah, blah. You'd be so angry if you knew what the Holy Spirit was praying through you about that guy. It's a gift. It's a tool. It's something beautiful, church. And so I want to say this to you, and I hope you're hearing this, and I hope the Holy Spirit is breathing on this. For any of us who've come from some tradition or have some bias against this, we just got to put that down. We got to look in the Word and see what God says. And what I see, and I'd be glad to talk to you. If you have more questions about this, I'd be glad to make an appointment with you. Sit down. We'll pull out our Bibles together, and we'll go through this word for word, right? But I just think I see something in Scripture here that's powerful, and that's something that we need as believers. And some of you have some concerns. I get it. You know, some of us say, well, man, you know, tongues, it just sounds like gibberish. To that, I would say amen. I've been to a few. I haven't been to a ton, but I've been to a few foreign countries where they speak a language that I don't understand. And I have yet to be in one of those situations where it didn't sound like gibberish. It's not my language. And it's not meant to be understood by my mind. It's out of the Spirit, right? And so, yes, it's going to sound like gibberish. What if I say the wrong thing? I don't think that's possible. In fact, I have this theory. Please listen to me. I have this theory. A lot of times, you know, in the evenings, Laurie and I will pray together. And it's, you know, been one of those days, you know, a long day. And she's like, okay, Jody, let's pray. And the way I start is like usually like, well, the Bible tells us in Romans that the Spirit makes intercession through us even in our groanings. And I just believe that in my, I believe that's the Holy Spirit praying through me. I really do. Because I believe He gets it. Because what He's hearing me is, oh Lord, I love you, but it's been a day. But right now in Jesus' name, I choose to cast my cares on Him because He cares for me. And your word says that if we're burdened and heavy laden, we can come to you and we can receive of you and yoke with you, and your yoke is easy and your burden's light. Jesus, you said that if we're thirsty, we can come to you and you'll give us drink of eternal life, eternal water. I believe that I said all that in. So don't get hung up on the syllables, the sound that's coming out of your mouth. I believe it's just a giving our yielding of our mouth, the bypassing of our mind. As hard as it is, I know your mind is everything, but this just needs to escape your mind. It's just going to go around your understanding, but it's a tool that God has for us. So some of us are like, I don't know, it just sounds like gibberish. Yes, it will sound like gibberish. And there's some of you who, when it comes to this kind of thing, you thought, well, I don't want to open myself up to something evil because, you know, sometimes this stuff is the devil and it's not God. Can I just say to you with all love, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Jesus foresaw this coming, and Luke 11, speaking about the Holy Spirit, he said, you're trying to be pretty good dads, right? All the dads in the house, are you trying to be pretty good dads? Yes. And he said, you're pretty good dads, but you're not great. And he said, when your kid asks you for something good, do you give him something evil? If he asks for bread, are you going to give him a stone? And he said, that's how you behave as earthly dads. Your heavenly Father, who's way better than you, He'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. You are not going to ask God for the Holy Spirit and Him give you a devil. It just ain't going to happen. So you need to get that out of your head. Again, you're not asking Jody for anything. You're asking God for something, right? And so we can trust Him. Amen.